Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello and welcome back to a losing edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast. I said plus minus, really Warriors all 82. Plus minus will be coming Wednesday night this week, but they lost, so I got to get Ethan Strauss on the line.
The king of losers, I think some have called me. Here to assess it with my rich history of losing. Yeah, that was a bitter taste in the mouth, that particular game right there.
It's a bad loss. They lost 12 games now, 12-12, a very representative 12-12. In total, a +2 on the season. but I would say that was maybe not the worst of the 12 losses, but I could hear an argument that it was the worst of the 12 losses. It was definitely on that bottom tier, considering I don't think the Spurs are that good. I know the record says they're better than they are. Yeah. And then there was just moments and just situations. They should have won. They just should have won.
Yeah, Bob Fitzgerald really playing up how it's a house of horrors down there in San Antonio. It's just so hard to win. And I don't really buy it.
Tim Duncan does not exist on the roster anymore.
Yes, Tim Duncan's not walking through that door. Manu Ginobili's not walking through that door. Tony Parker's not walking through that door. The guys walking through that door are very beatable. And it seemed like they really beat themselves. And it wasn't a low-effort game. You know, they played with a great pace a lot of the time, but a lot of the turnovers are just mystifying. And then also add in that they miss some shots they usually make. I think Damian Lee comes to mind with a few of those. Wanamaker is just at sea right now.
He struggled.
Yeah.
We should get to the ending first before.
With the end, because that's where the controversy is, isn't it? Right?
The
Carlton Banks three-pointer is what you want to discuss.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, so they're originally down one, similar to Dallas, another gut punch loss where Maxi Kleber hits the big three to put Dallas up four. This is a situation. There's a little bit more time left. Murray does hit a back-breaking three. But they have a larger chunk of time for Steph to hit a big three, which is kind of the forgotten play here to get it back to one. DeRozan hits two free throws. So they are down three with 8 seconds left. And Bob Fitzgerald, even on the broadcast, goes, well, Greg Popovich does not foul in these situations. Post game, Steve Kerr goes, we know the Spurs don't foul. You know, some coaches now do the up three foul, make it a free throw game. Popovich known for not doing it, although Draymond Green post game says Popovich does do it. So there was obviously a mix up there. And Draymond Green catches it, which, we can blame. It looked like kind of a mix up on the inbound. I don't know that you ever even wanted the ball going to Draymond there, maybe. No. But with 6 seconds left, Derek White does come at him pretty aggressively. I could see why he might have thought in a frantic moment Derek White's coming to foul. But he chucks up, like you said, the Carlton Banks 40-foot heave off the backboard. And it's like almost a jaw-dropping way to lose for a guy who is known for making some of the smartest plays late in games.
Well, as he said, it was the smartest dumb play ever, or the smartest dumb play ever, is how he described it. And it looked a lot worse than it was as far as the thought process going into it. And he's anticipating something that happens, and we've seen players outsmart themselves this way. Chris Paul famously... Did you cover that series? Were you covering that series where Chris Paul...
Yep.
He basically threw away... the golden opportunity for the Clippers right there by doing that. And so it happens to smarter players, and you can almost pull the chair on them. And I don't even know if it's worth dwelling on too much. I thought it was interesting that he said he should have just taken the foul in a regular way. I don't think that's what he should have done. I think he should have been racing towards Steph to DHO that thing, but easy for me to say from my couch.
Well, I think, you know, what maybe played into it a little bit too is like he's probably worried about the free throws in general at that point, because if they do foul him, the guy had just missed two free throws.
So he wants, you're saying, so he wanted, it's so he's counterintuitive, like, because usually it's a guy doesn't want to shoot free throws, he doesn't want to get fouled. In this case, it's, man, I need three shots at this.
Yes. It's like, give me as many opportunities as I can here. I mean, maybe that's a thought. Where you're correct is like, what, you know, like there's so much more to like actually discuss about the loss and where they are right now than Draymond Green making a mistake. I mean, he made a very big late game mistake, but you know, you go back to the Toronto game this year and he maybe defended a late game play better than I've ever seen anybody. Yeah. So it's give and take there. The loss in general, what sticks out the most to you?
What sticks out the most? I think the sloppiness with the ball sticks out the most. The squandering of everything Steph is giving them is what sticks out from the last two games, that he has been just brilliant, incandescent. And even when he's not scoring in bunches in this game, Popovich is one of those take away their left hand or take away their right hand coaches where he is going to not be subtle at all in trying to remove your strength. And was devoting so much more attention to Steph than Steph was seeing against Dallas. I mean, I feel like if Curry played the Mavericks every game, it would be, he'd average 45 points. So with all that attention, they were using it to get all of these layups, as Kerr was saying. And yet, just through not being sharp and not being focused, it seemed at times, they're just throwing it away. And that's why this is a frustrating game. They really seemed to have beaten themselves. And it seems like the other thing I'm taking away is that Steph seems most frustrated of all. I mean, did you get that from the post game interviews?
Yeah.
Cause that's what I got. He does this thing when he's mad, he laughs. He does a weird kind of grimace laugh when he's mad, and we got a little bit of grimace laugh in this post.
I was trying to poke a little bit, but I mean, not just to me. Like, remember after Murray hits the three? I don't know what broadcast you were watching, but they just keep the camera on him on the bench, and he's just sitting there stewing. And yes, that's the competitiveness within him. I would just say this: if you just take this last week, if you just take this last week, which I will start at the Celtics game through this first San Antonio game, including both Dallas games, that's a four-game period, which is usually about an NBA week. He has been the best player in the NBA this week.
Yeah.
And they're 1-3.
Yeah.
And I think that's getting to him a little bit. They lost in a night. He scored 57. They lost in a night against the Celtics where he went like 38-11-8. And then they lost tonight when he was, again, the best player on the floor. And within that, what we're seeing the last couple games is the problem we thought they were going to have early in the season, which they didn't, because they were struggling when he was on the floor because of that starting lineup issue. Well, that's off the table right now. They're struggling when he sits. They were +3 again tonight when he was on the floor, -8 when he wasn't, which brought up the conversation I'm writing about tonight. It's like, do they give, you know, do they bring him back in at the 9-minute mark of the fourth quarter, at the 8:30 mark, instead of staying, you know, stringent with this 6-minute mark? Tonight it was 5:30. And perhaps they lost a game or two because they just won't go over 34, 35-ish minutes for him. And Steve Kerr had a pretty, I'll read you the explanation after I get your take on it. But Steve Kerr is basically saying, like, the season doesn't really matter. We're not going to burn him out.
Yeah, that was interesting from Steph. He knows what the season is about, I think, is the thing Kerr said, which is, I don't know if that's a startling admission, but it's an interesting admission for a team that has an opportunity to be mid-table in the postseason. It's real. I mean, I don't think anybody can think that the Warriors have a chance to win the championship. So that's real, but you don't often hear coaches talk like that in this situation. What was interesting from Steph was how annoyed he got at those questions. And he effectively tried to shut them down by saying, look, there's something wrong if I need to play 40 minutes to win these games. You know, that's the problem. And I'm paraphrasing some of it, but it's these other teams do what's needed to execute to where their players don't have to play 40 minutes. We're not doing that because we're not those good teams. And he kind of said it explicitly. I mean, he kind of left it up to interpretation at first, saying that the good teams do it. And then he added, and we're not there yet. And so he is, and it gets curious because you wonder, where the frustration points are. And I do think there's a little bit of Oubre in there who has started hitting his shots, right? And he's hitting his shots, and it's this funny thing to watch because Kelly Oubre is hitting his shots and he's giving them great energy and effort on defense, and he just also is endlessly frustrating all at the same time. And I that's what I'm wondering about. Is Steph just frustrated with the results? Is he frustrated with specific players? Is he just frustrated with the situation? Whatever it is, he is not happy, and that was very clear after the game.
I'll start by reading Steve Kerr's quote. I asked him if there's a temptation to play Steph more minutes in these close games because, you know, the disparity tonight when he was off the floor. Kerr says, "Not for me. I'm into the long game. We're counting on Steph here for a long time, many, many years. I'm not interested in grinding through this season, which is already a difficult season with all the COVID regulations and the nature of the games themselves in these eerie, empty stadiums. This is, for me, for our organization, we're not throwing Steph out there for 40 minutes to chase wins. We got another game tomorrow. We want Steph to be playing at a high level for many years, so we're going to stay disciplined and try to keep him at that 34, 35-minute mark." Steve knows he can say this to the media, which is rare. I mean, it's part of the appeal of having Steph Curry as your star, right? I mean, like, his willingness to go along. And what he said, what Steph, in his frustrating way, did seem to agree with that idea of, like, look, if we're not good enough, like, we need to teach ourselves to be good enough and eventually be good enough where it can be like the past and I can play 35 minutes and we're going to win most games because we're good enough. But they're not going to be this – like, what do you think of this approach? Because he is clearly at his peak right now, but they're basically, as an organization, going, doesn't matter.
Well, as the guy who wrote the article saying that Steph Curry is a great value bet for MVP, I believe that Steve should increase Steph's minutes. As an objective observer, though, I completely agree with Steve and think that you keep the minutes to a reasonable number, maybe 33, maybe 34. Steph is not the most durable of players. And yes, this season is not about winning the championship. It just isn't. That's just what it is. And I understand why everybody's frustrated. From the fan perspective, I can see why the fans are frustrated. I think that they might be overreacting sometimes, or, you know, some of our friends and colleagues might be overreacting because they want something better than what they're getting. But if you just look at the talent of this team, it's middling talent with Steph included, and it's middling results. And I'm just not sure, where are the expectations? That's what I want to know. What they can be mad about, this game or that game not going well, but I'm just wondering, what do they think this team should be doing? Where should they be? Should they be a 3 seed, a 4 seed? And if so, what is the talent that justifies them being there, especially in this stretch right now where they don't have anybody large? And I'm not trying to be a Kerr apologist. I criticize certain decisions. I don't like certain choices. We've discussed it endlessly on Plus Minus. But I just don't understand what everybody else's expectations are for this team ever since Klay Thompson got hurt.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
Yeah, I think that... Well, So it reminds me a little bit of last year where Steph breaks the hand, and then immediately everyone who understands the NBA is like, this is one of the worst teams in basketball. I mean, you're in there in the media room looking up, you know, lottery highlights in like week three of the season, lottery player.
It didn't help me see LaMelo coming, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you know, maybe if you play in college. But still, and it was like, even going through that entire season, you knew where it was going. But if you actually take your mind back to the nights where, you know, they're in a close game at home against, you know, the Pacers, name your team, the Raptors, like there was still frustration with that moment, frustration with that coaching decision, frustration with that missed free throw late. And like, it's tough on a day-to-day basis to still absorb the losing, even if you understand the losing, where like they're 12-12. I think anyone rationally understands they're somewhere around a 500 team. Maybe if stuff breaks right this year, they end the season 7 games over .500. Maybe if stuff breaks wrong, they're 7 games under .500. But they're generally in that, whatever, 5 seed to 9 seed range. It's just that it's hard for anybody, particularly us. I mean, we're talking about it on a nightly basis, daily basis, and writing about it. Like, we still need to sift through the details and work through the mistakes and talk about this Draymond Green blunder late, like it has any effect on the wider scope of the Warriors franchise, which it doesn't, right? A loss in San Antonio tonight doesn't, but we're still living through the day-to-day here, and I think that's where – and also there's, like, a background of what the Warriors used to be, so that just raises, like, nightly expectations. Well,
and to be clear, of certain players, if Draymond wasn't a little bit weathered off what he was at his peak, right, then the expectations would rise. If he didn't look – If it didn't look difficult for him to hit those shots, I think the expectations would go up. It is interesting that he's starting to block shots again. I think that's a positive sign. And if Oubre was playing better, I suppose. But I think what you want from this team is that they get to top 10 in defense. It looks like they are on track to do that. I don't know what's happening as a result of this particular game. And then from there, I mean, I don't know. They just really don't have shooting. They don't have a lot of shooting. It makes it very hard, especially without Steph on the floor. And if you don't have shooting and you don't have size, that's where they're at right now with all their centers hurt. No shooting, no size. Curry does some miracle work. I don't agree with a lot of the takes on just put the ball in his hands all the time. I think that sounds cool and that sounds fun, but that's going to result in a lot of fatigue. I do think you need a balance. I do think that killing defenses from all different kinds of ways and the way they do is the way to do it. But their problem is mostly a lack of offensive talent. Again, I'm not trying to be a Kerr apologist on this one. I don't think that Kelly Oubre should have been starting. And even if he's starting to hit shots, I still would have favored including more shooting and having Damian Lee start. And I do think the offense is overly complicated, especially at the beginning of the season. But when you just stand back and you look at the talent and you look at how many guys can reliably hit a contested three-point shot, and you also look at how nobody is over the size of a wing out there, that's just a combo for bad. That's a bad offense combo. That's just not going to result in good offense. It's just not.
No, you're right. The center should be back soon. Wiseman probably either started the home center or, you know, he's going to miss this next Spurs game tomorrow night. But he's returning, which means he'll stop wearing these retro sweatshirts he's wearing. He's wearing Cartman sweatshirt.
Yeah, you tweeted about
friend.
The South Park one. That was something that caught your eye. You were a fan of that.
I was like, yeah, well, it was just odd. I mean, then I was sitting there thinking, he wasn't alive when South Park started, and sure enough, he wasn't. 97 is when South Park debuted, and he was born in 2001. Friends tonight, I don't remember what year Friends started. I haven't talked to you since they went super small. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really worked right in that first Dallas game when they went no centers and suddenly they had their best offensive night of the year, 147 points.
Yeah.
You saw the flaws of it, I would say, the last couple of days, particularly the second Dallas game. They just didn't defend.
Yeah, it's Steph saying that Wiseman should really be watching to learn how to play off of it. I feel like if I'm Wiseman, maybe I'm going after these last two going like, what should I be learning? Like, what's the, are you sure that you guys have it all figured out without me? Yeah. Are you, or sorry, I cut you off. Were you going to ask?
No, 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 I'm just that general idea of like them, you know, Draymond at center. I mean, you mentioned Draymond's blocks. He has 8 blocks the last few games. That's pretty much primarily because he's playing center. Maybe he can still block shots when he has centers next to him better. I assume he will better than 2 blocks in 16 games, but. And it, you know, 15 assists, I think he had 10 assists. Like, there are some added benefits to them going small, but they're developing Wiseman, who will be back later this week. How small do you think they should play even when James Wiseman's back, I guess is my question.
I mean, I like going small. I'm a fan of it. It depends on the matchup. That's a very boring answer, but it really depends on the team you're going against. And so, and I'm trying to think about it right now. Like, what do we even mean by going small at this point? I guess Pascal at center is definitely going small. It seems like that's really the only way they can find utility for him. So they're going to keep doing that. And I do think that this is going to be an important stretch for Wiseman when he comes back, because they might not have a lot of other options. And that just gives the season some juice, and I just want to see more Wiseman, because if Kerr is legit and he really means it, that this season's not about winning necessarily, then let's see the rook, man. Like, let's
25 minutes a night, right?
Yeah, let's see it. And it's interesting because the fans are restless. You know, it's a lot of LaMelo big games happening recently.
Guess what? They play the Hornets twice coming up in a couple weeks.
Oh, just, that's gonna be good. That's gonna be really interesting, and it's also interesting to watch this from afar, because I think credit to anybody who was on the LaMelo bandwagon beforehand, and we know a certain tall individual who hosts a podcast named after him who might be on that particular tip, but there are a lot of
people. He's gonna be humble about it, though. He's gonna be real humble about it, right?
Well, but there are a lot of people who I don't think saw it coming and now are acting as though they did, that they were so confident after shooting 37% in the Australian League that this is the thing. And this is this whole other topic, I think, where people seem, there are a lot of influential Warriors Twitter follows who feel as though the Warriors didn't get the best player in the draft because he had to fit Steve Kerr's precious system. And I just don't think that's what happened. I don't think that's why what happened. I think Bob wanted to draft James Wiseman because for a myriad of reasons, and one of those reasons does include that LaMelo shot 37% in Australia. And LaMelo, I think, is showing that his talent is really what matters, and he is just impressed, and that's a massive credit to him. But I don't think it was a situation where the Warriors went, we want to draft LaMelo so bad and Steve won't let us. He just won't let us. I don't think that's how that went down.
No, it isn't. And also, we'll see on Wiseman. You know, he remains a 7'1" gigantor who has, I believe, 43 dunks before he got hurt already, and he's hit 9 threes, and he's blocking a bunch of shots. Like, it's on the developmental staff. He's raw, we know. But I think this is a 3-year window of a project.
Oh, yeah.
That is tough to grade it until it's towards the end of year 2, year 3. Now, we'll have a bunch of check-ins along the way, but, you know, there remains a world where he becomes the best player in this draft. There also remains a world he's not. But
yeah, the draft classes, to me, it's almost like a long version of those Jumbotron races where you've got the little cars and you've got the green car and the yellow car, and like, oh, the yellow's in front. Oh, okay.
LaMelo
oh,
no. takes the lead on the outside.
Yeah, no, and it's now that's the red car.
Oh, who is this Halliburton in the Kings race
yeah.
car?
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a lot of that. And so it does require some patience. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do right here, if you'd oblige. I think on the old House of Strauss podcast, maybe in anticipation for one of those Hornets-Warriors games, we have the tall man from Dunked On, and we have you. We have me as a quasi-moderator, and we just have it out about the draft and look back at it between those two guys, Wiseman, LaMelo, maybe with some Edwards mentions as well. I think that's something we maybe should do. I'm just floating that.
Well, that's a tease for the listeners. Also, we have a Warriors plus minus coming up this week that I'm sure there'll be somewhat of a conversation about that. And the Warriors are 12-12.
12-12.
They play the Spurs again. coming up, which, you know.
It's great. It's great from an analysis perspective. 12-12. Something always going wrong, something always going right.
No question. All right, we will talk to you on the Warriors Plus Minus Wednesday night.